We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What makes us like, love, hate, whatever our athletes? What is it? What is it in our head that they're doing that makes us? Because it, you know, there are guys that, let me give you an example. Jason Wirth. I loved him as a player. He started rubbing me a little bit the wrong way because I don't want to say he's a bad guy, but he's a grumpy guy. You know what I mean?
He's not a chipper and happy
all
the time.
He's not friendly. Mm-mm. And the team missed him when he left because he hated losing.
He had an edge to him.
Which they needed.
Yeah.
But the hate that people have for Jason Wirth because he went to the Nationals, they gave him $128 million.
And the Phillies offer half that, if that?
I don't even think half. I think it was a 3-year, $45 million or something like that.
Anyone would have taken that deal.
Right. I'm not going to hate. Jason Wirth loved being here. He loved Philadelphia. That's a no-brainer, that contract. So is it just because he left? Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen, did we love Scott Rolen here? I don't even remember because he hated it here and he wanted out.
He was a prickly person. He didn't like people, Scott Rolen.
But the people I talk to in the organization say he's one of the best guys ever to play for him, just as far as being a good dude.
Yeah.
Is one of the great guys. But why do we love Chase and not Jimmy? Why do we love Shane Victorino and not Jimmy?
First impressions, I think, matter. I mean, I think still Gabe Kapler's still dealing with his first impression was Nola, 68 pitches, Holby Milner, they blow that lead on opening day. I mean that, you can't have a worse first impression.
But people still, the analytics.
I know.
He won't criticize his players
the
at
way
press
he talks,
conferences.
He's different. He's not honest.
He's not.
I had someone call me on opening day and told me that he doesn't look like a manager, and he doesn't because most managers don't look like him. He looks like a player still.
I don't think I've ever seen a manager in a bikini briefs and all tanned up.
And I don't know if we ever will again.
We won't. No,
but
that
doesn't mean he's not a good manager.
Actually, Charlie Manuel in bikini briefs would be, you know, that'd be something interesting. 888-729-9494. Use that for the text line. We know we love phone calls and we'll get our phone calls, but Ben's going to be monitoring the text line today and seeing what people are saying because I think this is something that everybody that's listening can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Philadelphia fan. You're a sports fan in general. What makes you like or not like a player? Which type of players are you drawn to where you're like, yeah. For instance, growing up as a little kid, Mo Cheeks was my favorite, still is, still my favorite Philadelphia athlete of all time. Why? Because he was understated. He wasn't given the credit Dr. J was. And when you're a little kid, I don't know if you really know, but I, even as an adult, look at Mo and was like, wow, he was such an important piece to this team that really probably isn't given much credit, as much credit as he deserves.
So kind of someone that maybe the masses didn't realize how much they mattered. You gravitated toward that guy. That kind of athlete.
That was my guy.
I like people that care. Like the reason I believed in Kapler from the start is one, I thought he was smart, but two, I thought this guy's really putting in a lot of time. Like he thinks a lot about what he does. You may think he's ridiculous for what he's doing, but I don't think he does anything by the seat of his pants. Like there is a plan.
He's calculated.
He's calculated.
He
you
is.
May think he's crazy.
And here's
but
the
he's
other
calculated.
Thing, Joe. He's adjusted and he's changed
sure.
some things that he's doing, which he's not giving credit for by the people that say he does this and does that. No, he's already said that he's changed the way things mm-hmm. that he's done.
Yeah, when things have started to settle in, he's let it be.
All right, let's get some phone calls here. CJ in Garnet Valley has one of my favorite Philadelphia-isms of all time. Hi, CJ.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
One of you guys I thought just nailed it. It was the caring aspect. And it was the reason, and I actually kind of like Donovan, but the reason I couldn't stand him was he'd throw an interception or a ball on a screen pass straight into the dirt.
Yeah, he'd do the worm ball that he was famous for, yeah.
And he'd smile or tap his chest and kind of go, my bad. And you're sitting there like, yeah, we know it was your bad.
Right, but you know he wasn't happy because I've heard this forever, CJ. You know he wasn't happy that he threw an interception. That was nervous Donovan.
Probably his defense mechanism.
Yes.
Smile.
Yeah.
And I do think the guy cared. But I think that is the aspect that kind of stuck with a lot of people that he didn't it didn't seem like he cared.
What was the overall was his personality?
Aloof.
Yeah, that's what very aloof.
Yeah, it felt like he wasn't as invested as you and I, CJ. That I think that bothers people.
Yeah, and get on the Gabe train. There's still a little bit of room.
Oh, we're Gabe men, no doubt about that.
I know you are. I'm talking to the people.
It's filling up though. That Gabe train is filling up.
It's running out of room, but there's still room.
All right, CJ, you're on, man. We're pro Dooble and we're Gabe men.
Listen, the third hitter on a first place team, the manager of a first place team. It's easy to be on these trains right now. 2 months ago wasn't as easy.
I don't think there's one thing with Donovan that makes him. It was annoying when second and nine and there's a wide open receiver and he fires into the turf or he throws the interception or whatever and he does the smile. I'm not going to tell you that wasn't annoying, but I never was like, she's happy. Right? I didn't know he wasn't happy. That's just one of the reasons why he wasn't great in the clutch was the same reason why he's smiling after an incompletion, because it was a nervous defense mechanism that he uses.
He had an awkward personality. I mean, even five will always love you. Such a weird thing to say.
Oh, it was bizarre.
Just strange. It's tough to connect with them. That's always been that way.
Yeah, I don't know Donovan. I obviously don't know him well. I don't know him. He's not a bad guy. Anytime I've ever had any kind of a conversation, association with him or whatever, he's always been very nice to me. But there was something about, here's where it was for Don here with Donovan with me. He's passive aggressive. He didn't say what he meant. He would say, this is what I always liked. He was like, well, you know, there's 21 other people on a football team, but if you want to blame me, then go ahead and blame me. No, you're saying that you shouldn't be blamed because it's a team sport.
Or he's saying, blame them, not me, and without saying it.
He blamed youth the one time. When you're the quarterback and you make the most money on the team, even if it's not your fault, if it's clearly not your fault and you're performing it like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady and everybody else stinks, I think you can make your point known that it's not your fault, right? But you don't come out when you maybe had struggles and blame everybody else. I'm just telling you how I would be. I'd be like, hey man, listen, everybody on this team has a long way to go, but if you know, I'm the quarterback, I'm the leader of this team, put it on me.
I always want the quarterback to take all the blame, even if it's not his fault. That's part of the job.
I didn't like his passive aggressiveness.
No, it was annoying.
Yeah, it was annoying.
He was a very tough athlete to really engage with, even though he was a tremendous player for a while. Like Donovan McNabb was a great quarterback for a small period.
5 years?
Yeah. Think back to that period. How many quarterbacks were better? Peyton?
Brady?
We can't list five more. Some guys had big years kind of out of nowhere, but sustained success for those 5 years?
No, he was a top five quarterback for 5 years.
And then it was before Roethlisberger and Breeze.
His biggest problem was, he's a Hall of Famer if he has five more good years.
He tailed off
so fast.
What was he, 32?
32. He's done. And he was done. And by the way, he was done before that.
And Andy knew, and that's why he didn't mind trading him to Washington.
Andy knew. He definitely knew. I got Dan in Marlton wants to say why Kapler is hated. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How are you? Great show. I love you both. You're doing great today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Appreciate it.
Hey, so Kapler has this California-style, Birkenstock-wearing, holier-than-thou, always optimistic personality. And, you know, the spirit of Philadelphia, it's like this nitty-gritty, proud pessimism, and I really think that clashes. And from day one, he's just always been the eternal optimist, and I think that kills his love in the city of Philadelphia.
I think you're right. I think part of it is true, Dan. He doesn't relate to people because they're screaming at the TV or screaming at the game, meanwhile he's saying it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I believe in these guys. But I think what he's doing is working, Dan, and I think he's calculated about it because he has a young team and he's trying to prop them up instead of knock them down. But I do think in terms of the fans and our minds, I think it makes sense.
Do you feel like that, Dan? Or is this just what you think other people are thinking?
You know, I felt like it at first. That was my first impression. Then he grew on me with the success they're having. But if he gives one more player a nickname, I'm going to have to do something about that.
Mikey! Stretch is my favorite. Stretch is my favorite one. Stretch for Altair kills me.
Thanks, Dan. You know what? If they were losing, it would be annoying, but they're winning, and I find it very funny.
You know, it's funny, though, because that's a baseball guy thing. People say, oh, he's not real.
Hockey.
Yeah, that's a sports guy thing, to have nicknames for all the other players on the team. You just don't usually see the manager doing it. It's almost like he's one of the players with the nicknames and all that stuff. I Stretch, though, it kills me every time he says it.
So, remember when he got booed, Kapler?
At the home opener?
And he was getting booed pretty good. And So he responded to that and said that he wasn't booed as a player because he wasn't a good enough player to get booed.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? So now he's saying is that, you know, he was listening. So what he said was that I'm trying to find the quote right here. I believe that our fans matter, and those fans are the reason we're able to do what we do. If they're booing, then I'm not doing my job well. I won't dig in and become stubborn. Rather, it gives me the opportunity to challenge my own assumptions, and more specifically, the moves that I make on behalf of our club. So he's more or less saying, like, I guess I'm not doing my job if they're booing. He could have came out and, like, with Donovan. I don't think Donovan really ever got over being booed.
I don't think he did
by
either.
The idiots that went up to New York.
That really ruined the relationship from the moment it started.
And it probably wouldn't have been, I don't think it would have been a great relationship anyway, but he never got over that. Charlie Manuel, when he was, people were tough on Charlie Manuel when he first started here. He was insulted. He was told he didn't know what a double switch was and everything else. Now Charlie Manuel's loved, right? Gabe Kapler, all you got to do is win now. And Charlie, he never brought that up. He never was bitter about it. He could have been bitter the same way other people were bitter. Mm-hmm. But
the one good thing about the Gabe criticism so far this year, have you noticed, John, the young players in this team get zero criticism. All the criticism, when there is criticism on the Phillies, when they're struggling, it all goes to Gabe. He's like the perfect cover for a young team. Kingery in a slump, well, he's a playing out position. Hoskins in a slump, well, he shouldn't be batting too. It's all on Gabe. He takes it all, and the young players just kind of go about their business.
You're right. You get a text there, Ben?
Yeah, this one comes from Mark on 76. He says, look, I love the analytic aspects of Gabe. Like, Gabe is a manager. He's new school. I love that. But it's the fact that he has this salesman-esque attitude and the way he talks that really drives me nuts. That he's allowed to think the way he does, and that's a good thing, but it's the way he presents it that's the problem.
I mean, I don't know. I get a kick out of the way he presents it. I don't ever get the feeling that he's talking down to people when he talks.
I don't either.
Right.
When you were out a couple weeks ago and I was with Ike, we had Hoskins on.
Yeah.
I asked him, is he like this all the time? Because the players, if you're fake, eventually it's going to come out. Like, people will see you in a different moment. You're angry. He said he's never at one point not seen him with this kind of upbeat.
That's him.
Hi, I've heard Klintak said the same thing a couple months ago. This is the way he always is.
I don't know if it works forever.
And maybe not with a veteran team, but a young team.
Yeah,
a
veteran team, it probably doesn't. But here's the other thing. When you grow with the team, then that becomes your team, and you can continue to do
right.
it. One of the problems Charlie Manuel had late in his tenure was he came up with these guys, so it was tough to really be hard on the guys that he had grown and won with, to where a new manager could come in and criticize, or Ryan Sandberg could come in and be harder on a player, which he was to a couple of people.
Especially Jimmy, which
didn't work.
No.
But anyway, let me see. Jack, Ben Salem. Hi, Jack.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Great show, as always.
Thank
whoever's
you.
There. But I think it all goes back to, you know, like the caller before was talking about Worth and why he was hating and everything. I think it was because Worth knew, like, what he was worth, but Roop wasn't really willing to pull the trigger. You know, he was more concerned about keeping Jimmy there and keeping Chase there and keeping, you know, Howard there. I mean, gotta remember, you know, he signed Howard to his contract, you know, his extension, when he still had over a year left on the previous one. You know, if they let that ride out, you know, and see him for what he was, you know, couldn't hit through the shift and everything else, do you not give Howard that extension? Do you give Worth his money? You know, so I don't think hating Worth was ever justified. I always liked him when he played. So, you know,
I don't know. I mean, honestly, Jack, in hindsight, you would obviously say, well, oh, you should have kept Worth, but he wasn't drafted by the club. He didn't have Jimmy was drafted. Ryan was the power hitter that they were afraid of losing. You know, it made sense to keep the other guys, at least on paper at the time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the hating of Worth for, you know, chasing the money that, you know, he was, you know, no pun intended, worth, you know, in my eyes, was justifiable, you know, for a personal aspect, for himself, you
right.
know, to leave or whatever. I mean, I wish he hadn't stayed in the division. That it would have been nicer if he went out, you know, somewhere out west, or even over to the AL, but, I mean, still, you know. And as
well, it's not like they won World Series or anything down there. And Wirth has kind of been up and down, has had a lot of injuries, and now he's retired from baseball.
Yeah, but they didn't become a dynasty in the Nationals. Yeah. They became a good team. They've been the best team in the division probably for 3, 4, 5 years, but it's flipped again now. Now they're struggling.
Yep.
Right, and they were close to it, though. I mean, you know, they had Harbor coming up, and they had, what's-his-face, the pitcher. I can't think of his name. Threw his arm out. Strasburg.
Yeah.
You know, had that all stayed together, yeah, they would have been competitors. But, I mean, hating them for chasing the money, like you said, over, you know, signing guys that were the face of the ball club, you know, that's what I'm saying is unjustified.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right, Jack, appreciate it, man. Yeah, I mean, listen. He won it. He was a big part of a championship here. I thought in this city, that's what it's about, and not about. If he comes out after the championship and says, "I hate Philadelphia and everything else," and I can understand it. I just never understood the Jason Wirth stuff.
You know what? I don't think it's going to be like that with these Eagles guys. If LeGarrette Blount, no, he's a Lion. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. But if he gets to the playoffs, people are going to hate him unless he's playing the Eagles. I don't feel that way.
No, we will love LeGarrette Blount forever.
Oh, and a bunch of guys left. You know, guys leave. When Nick Foles eventually leaves, Nick Foles is going to leave and probably get a chance to start somewhere else. I would think people root for him unless he's in the division somehow.
He'll be here. He was here 1 year, and he will be more beloved in Philly for that 1 year than New England or wherever else he was.
And he was good in the playoffs. And he was really good in the playoffs.
And he feels it, too. You can tell that this season meant a lot to him as far as the team and everything else. But you're right. You're right. There's not... Is Trey Burton going to be booed because seriously, Trey Burton just left because he got the paycheck from the Bears. We got to boo him?
No.
When he comes? Of course not.
He'll be loved here forever. It's different, though.
And he was mad at the team. He spoke out against the team.
Yeah.
He was hurt.
Took his money? Just like most of these athletes do. They take their money and they leave when they get more money.
888-729-9494. That's his phone number to get in. Also, we'll do some extra text today at Mark Cerise WIP. But also, I've instructed Ben to be on the text board today. Because this is a great question for people that you don't normally call sports radio shows to text in and give your opinion on why. What is it? What makes you tick to like or not like or love a player or a coach or whoever here in Philadelphia? All right, our caller challenge, Joe, and here's what we have today. A pair of tickets to Kevin Hart, the Irresponsible Tour. And it's the best caller that gives us, and it comes off this Starbucks is getting rid of straws, and we'll play you Tom Brady. Wait, do you hear Tom Brady on the other side? Tom Brady his biggest cause right now is eliminating straws, and we'll play the audio to prove it coming up next. But along those lines, what would you get rid of? In sports, in life, in whatever. Like, what were we saying? I would like to get rid of the IPA beer snobs. Go drink a stinking Miller Lite. I don't need to hear about this or that. My IPA, my microbrew. See, go drink a Miller Lite and shut up.
I'm an IPA guy, but I don't like being the snob about it. I just want my IPA, you can drink whatever you want.
I want you out.
I'm out. I'll tell you what I want. Change. Like when you're in the store and you're behind the person with the little change purse, and I'm three people behind, and I got to get somewhere where I'm
going. I know I got a nickel somewhere in here.
I mean, come on. It's 2018.
Get rid of change.
Yeah, change. Out.
I agree.
Who needs
it anymore? How about just money?
I don't even care.
Do we need money? I make sure, so for the machine here sometimes, I'll make sure I have a dollar or I'll put some change in my pocket.
They've got us the new machine with the cards now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So we have the new one right there.
You don't need cash.
You don't need it. Let's get rid of money altogether. Ben, what do you got? What are you getting rid of?
And this is not an offense to the people that work at post offices, but I need to get rid of post offices.
Like, you put that out there first. Like, no offense to you, post office workers.
This has more to do with the people in post offices than the people that work at post offices. Because, like, today I just sent a money order. Which is something you should be able to do online, but I sent a money order. And I had to wait behind one old guy for 15 minutes. It's incredible. I don't even know what the guy was doing.
You
were
getting the money order from?
How does this letter work? You're 90 years old. You don't know how a letter works? I got my speeding ticket.
Were you getting the...
I know I had to pay a money order for my speeding ticket.
But you were getting the money order from...
No, I was writing the money order. And you have to go to the post office to do this. You can't do it online for some reason, because all this stuff has to be done at a post office.
Why can't you just go somewhere else to get a money order? Why have to go to the post office?
No, I'm in South Philly. Where am I going to go?
Bank? Across the street?
Not a lot of Western Union's in South
Philly. Every bank can give you a money order.
I think this is more about you're upset about your speeding ticket than it is the post office.
About you?
Yeah, probably.
So
$233.
So Ben says the post office. I'm against what Ben's saying.
Yeah, I am
pro post office.
My grandfather was a mailman. Yeah.
Wait. I could see that.
Yeah.
Could you see Joe being a postman?
Yes. He's got the hair for it.
A long time ago, when I was young, I used to say if I didn't do something in sports, I'd be a mailman.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.